Okay, I want to talk to you today about something we're all familiar with, but let me just bring it up. I'm going to talk about the great metamorphosis. How many just feels like you've been going through it? Metamorphosis, you know what that is. It's where the caterpillar's not so lovely and it finally gets to be a butterfly, but not for a while. You've got to go through some stuff. How many has ever gone through some stuff? Maybe you're just going through some stuff now. Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's go over to John 10:10. I know you don't have to turn there, but I was getting in my car this morning and I thought, my goodness, Father, where in the world would we be without John 10 had you not warned us and encouraged us? I mean, John 10:10 is just a part of our makeup. It's who we are. Every now and then I think about songs and I think, where would we be? I can't even imagine life without Amazing Grace. Can you? I can't imagine life without, I can only imagine, my goodness, where would we be? Can you imagine life without I can only imagine? And now I'm thinking, I couldn't even imagine being without holy water. It's like holy water on my skin. Ah, they'll become a part. And John 10:10 is a part of us. Look at it. You don't even need me to read it to you, but it's always good just to open your Bible and read it. Make sure it's still on the page and it's written in red. Jesus warns us. He said, oh, the thief, he does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Period. There's a period there. He doesn't say and. He doesn't say but. There's no conjunction. He just says the thief comes for three reasons. He does not come for any other reason except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Again, no and, no but. He just said period. And then he says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So we'll stop right there. Because I want to tell you, as you know, we were all going along so well. Life was good. Everything was good. America was doing well. Everything was going along. Children were good. Everything was well. Oh, I know people had regular things going on. But do you know what a speed bump is? Aren't they just the most irritating things? You're just driving along, going 40 miles an hour or whatever. All of a sudden, you hit one of those speed bumps, and it just slows you down so fast. I mean, then it makes you mad because it scares you. And so all of a sudden, that speed bump just stops you. And I'll say this. In 2020, we hit the biggest speed bump of our life. Everything was going along. All of a sudden, we got these whisperings about this COVID-19, and they were just whisperings at first, and then all of a sudden they started talking about masks, and they started talking about closing stores down, and then all of a sudden it just hit, like Denny's is closed, and Black Bear's closed, and everything's closed up, there were whisperings about, well, we may have to close the school down, and we couldn't even imagine the schools being closed. Okay, they close the schools. You think, okay, a week or two and we're done. No, almost 2 years it was closed. I'm not sure about that time scale, but it was a long time. So the kids went home. You couldn't go into grocery stores. You couldn't. And then when we finally could, you had to go in with a mask. When you went to a restaurant, you could either take your choice. You could eat outside in the hot summertime under a canopy, or you could go in the wintertime and sit out there and with a heater. I would take my babies out sometime for breakfast or for lunch or dinner, and we'd sit under one of those canopies, and I remember it being so hot one day that we were at Black Bear. They wanted to go there, and it was so hot. By the time the food came, little Parker and Ainsley's faces were red. I told the girl, I said, honey, you better box that up. We're going to have to take that home because it's just too hot. So everything was just, it just caused all kinds of problems and all kinds of change. And then after it all passed and we took the mask off and the kids went back to school and we could go back into the stores, it still just messed up everything. And it was such a reset. It was a reset to the culture. It was a reset to society. And still some people can't get over it. Now, no offense if you do this, but some still will put on a mask. You'll walk into the store, they have a mask. I saw a guy walking down the street the other day, he had a mask on. I'm like, dude, you're outside. What are you doing with a blue mask on? So, I don't know, you know, it just created a lot of crazy things. And I want to say, I believe it was metamorphosis. I believe God says, hold it, the culture is a mess. You guys think you're all right, but you're not. It's crazy. And the families, you know, there were some things that were hidden in the families that began to come out. And so the metamorphosis began to happen, and we hated it, we despised it. And I looked up the word metamorphosis this morning, and it said this, it's a change of physical form. It's a change of structure. Even the churches changed their structure. I am still amazed at what that speed bump did to the church around the entire world, not just us. The things that it did. People can go to church now without going to church. And some of them love that. So the change of physical form, the change of structure, a striking alteration in appearance, a striking alteration in character or circumstance. Boy, did we ever have that. A striking alteration. And today, businesses are closing. Last 2 weeks ago, remember when I came in and two of our ladies had been over to one of the stores over on Henderson, Marshall's or Kohl's or something like that. They were over there, and as they were walking out to their car, here came a lady, and her arms were out like this, and she had clothes over her arms. Full of clothes. She could hardly walk. Clothes, all kinds of things just draped over her arms. And she just walked out with it. Looked over to the register, and they didn't do a thing. They just looked at her. She grinned at him, walked out, and the guy was waiting on her in the car, and they got in to call. So one of the ladies got her camera out, took a picture of the license plate. The other one said, I started writing down as quickly as I could her license plate number. So they took it over to the counter, if my story's right, and showed the lady. She says, there's nothing we can do, but thank you. Nothing we can do with that. We can't call the police. One of my good friends managed CVS for years and years. I'd go and love to see her. One day I went in, and she says, you won't be seeing me anymore. I said, why not? She said, I can't take it anymore. It's like 2022, beginning of 23. I said, what happened? She said, oh, these thieves come in and they distract us. They will distract one of us, and then the other just goes and gets the liquor they want or the wine or whatever and puts it in their coat or their hoodie and they walk right out with it, and there isn't anything we can do. She said, a guy and I tried to chase a guy out the other day, and we got him out there, and the cops came and let him go. Said, we can't do anything. Well, okay, that is the way it used to be in the good old days. But now, they don't even have to distract anyone. I mean, you could just stand right there and watch them, and they will take it right in front of you and walk right out with you, right out with it. They don't care who sees what. How did that happen? Looks like it could just be a picture of what we're seeing today. The thief at first would come in behind, and he would be hidden, and he would be disguised. But now the thief doesn't have to. He'll just come out and wide open and do the most shameful and embarrassing things, do whatever a thief wants to do. But the Bible warned us that that would happen. Jesus himself said, oh, he only comes for one reason. And that is to steal. And let me give you another Greek word. I know there's so many Greek words and so many Hebrew words for certain things. But in the New Testament, it's Greek. Let me tell you what the word steal means. It means, the Greek word is klepto. Where have you heard that word before? Kleptomaniac. I think we all know what that is. Well, I looked up what that meant. And it means, the Greek word klepto means a pickpocket. an embezzler and one who takes something that doesn't belong to them. Okay, this is getting a little bit personal, and I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I think I should probably tell you this because it's just too crazy. But this was a long, long time ago. I was in junior high school, I'll never forget it, eighth grade, and one of my friends told me that her mother's family, they had a lot of money. Her mother's one sister had a great job, a professional, but she was a kleptomaniac. And they said, for some reason, this lady took a needy friend, I don't know why she didn't buy it herself, and took her into Salvation Army. But this lady who had the money went into Salvation Army and stole a blouse, a woman's blouse. The little ticket on it said 25 cents, and the lady stole it. That's when they realized Aunt Susie has an issue. She has a problem. They said, they called the police. Salvation Army in the good old days, they called the police. She's got our blouse. 25 cents. Call the cops. Call the police over that. And they took her in. They arrested her. Like, what? Oh, those were good old days. Arrested her. She said, they said, why'd you do that? You could have bought that blouse. Oh, she said, I didn't even want it. She said, but I just need to have it. I just need to do it. It was pretty. I'll just give it away. But I'm telling you, see, Satan comes in, and he really does not want what you have. But if you have good children, he says, I want that. If you have a good marriage, I want your marriage. If he sees you're happy, oh, I want that. If he sees that you've got a call on your life, oh, I want that. If he sees things are going pretty good for you, he's going to rob you every way he can because he is a kleptomaniac and he does not care. What it is that you have, it's not that he wants it, but he says, no, I'll just take it from them. We were in New York and the pastor warned us. He said, now you be careful walking down the street. And he said, you've got to watch where you're going because the sidewalks are kind of bumped up in some places. But he said, be careful, watch where you're going. Because he said these thieves are all over the street. And see, here, they call it, am I right, snatch and grab? But in New York, they call it bump and lift. Okay, so there's always a lot going on the streets of Manhattan. And so, pastors told us, he said, look, you can be walking down the street and you'll see something over here. There's a big crowd gathered. Well, these enemies or the thieves will watch for the crowd. And they will come near that crowd and they may bump you. They will bump you. And then when they bump you, another one just lifts what they want out of your pocket. Maybe even cause you to drop your purse or they will lift your wallet and you'll never even know it. So it's bump and lift. Bump, distract you, get you distracted, and then take whatever they want. And that's what the devil does to us, church. If he can distract us with any kind of trial, any kind of issue in our lives, any kind of problem, even financial problems, depression, fear, a child that gets off course, a marital problem, if he can distract you, bump you, and get you distracted, guess what he's going to do? He's going to lift out of you, out of your heart, anything he wants. He'll just take it from you. That's why Paul told us to be sober and be vigilant. Stay awake, because that devil will seek to destroy. He comes to get whatever he can. The devil seeks whom he may do what? Devour. Just take you all the way out. If you got a little joy, he wants it. You got a little strength, he says, I'll take that too. He just wants everything he can get. Let me tell you, when it says the enemy came to steal, okay, I think we get that. And he comes to kill. Now, that doesn't necessarily, we think it means murder. Well, he would try to do that too. But the word kill here that Jesus was using, see, Jesus spoke Aramaic. I have an Aramaic Bible, and when I read it, it says something else. And when you study, you'll see that that word kill also means to sacrifice. And it also means to throw away. Disperse up. So if that klepto can come to you and bump you, then he will come to get something else. He wants to kill. Okay, what's he wants to kill? What does he want to kill? Okay, you know you have a purpose from God. Every one of us in this room and around the world, we are the remnant of Christ. Every one of us have a work to do. He's called us all. We are called. And we are sanctified. And we are to do his work. And the devil knows that. So he will bump us. And then he will come and try to take everything. And everything that he can get from us, he will convince us that you are not called. You have no purpose. Furthermore, you don't have what it takes to do what he wants you to do. How many's ever heard that one? You don't have what it takes. Well, when Joseph went before Pharaoh, Pharaoh says, no one can interpret my dream. But can you interpret it? These guys, they say you can interpret my dream. And Joseph says, I don't have it in me. Oh, King James said, or maybe a New King James. I don't have it in me to do that. But God can. But God does. And so Joseph knew God lived in him. Now, you and I go through this life, and there's so many times where I say, God, I don't have that in me. I just don't have it in me. But then all of a sudden, just like that, I realize, oh, he does, and he lives in me. Christ in me in him, the Father in him in Jesus in him, and they came to make their abode in me. You may not have it, but he does. And he said, what I called you to, you cannot give it away. You cannot throw it away. You cannot sacrifice it to the lies of the enemy against you. Because he lies, and he lies to steal everything that he can. And it's kind of like these department stores. I really hate this, and I know you do too, that they are closing all over the place. I think it was Linda told me, and I just heard it, that over $1,000 stores are closing all over, I don't know, was it California? All over the United States, 1,000 of those dollar stores. And I'm thinking, what are some people going to do? You can get everything at the dollar store. And it's so cheap. What are you going to do? So much there. They're closing. And then the high-end stores are closing in San Francisco and all over the place. Why? Because of the thief. The thief comes in, they're losing so much product, they're losing so much of their merchandise. Who can afford it? So they're saying, we just have to close up. What are they saying? We're just going to have to sacrifice and give it all away. What are they saying? We're going to let the thief win. The stores are just the thievery. And it's dangerous. People coming in with guns. We're living in a new day. It's too dangerous on the streets of San Francisco with the drugs and alcohol. Not just San Francisco, but all over. So I want to tell you this, church. If the devil can't take it away from you, if he can't take it away from you, then he'll convince you like he has these doors. He'll just convince you to forget it and just think, it wasn't for me, or throw it away. You young people, listen, you get a boyfriend, you get a girlfriend. You adults, you get these things, and then it doesn't come to fruition. You can't throw it all. I'll never love anyone again. I'll never do this again. Don't you throw anything away. that God has for you. You throw nothing out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Because you don't know what God has for you. But He does. And He will bring it to pass. But you've got to realize there are demons. How did this work? I won't get into a big old theological thing. But way back there, Satan was a created being. He lived in heaven. He was an angel. He was the worship angel. He worshiped before the throne of God. He was a worshiper. He was beautiful. The Bible says that he was an instrument. His whole body was a musical instrument. And he worshiped before the throne of God. And nobody was as beautiful as him. And he would worship before God. And the music and the sounds would come out. And there was a beautiful aura around him like a rainbow. And then there was a rainbow, of course, over the throne. And it was all beautiful. But he sees all of these angels. And he sees all the elders. No, well, not yet. He sees all of the seraphims and all of these angels worshiping before God. And he said, I can do that. I want that. See, it started way back there. I want that. I want everyone to worship me. Look how beautiful I am. Why should I stand here and worship you? Give you all of this beautiful music and fall all over you. When look at me. Well, he found out how that worked out. God just said, I'll tell you what I'll do with you and those third of the angels that worship you. I'll just kick you all out. Satan sacrificed everything he had in heaven. And God kicked him down to the earth. And he had to crawl on the earth. This is after the earth was created, of course. And he had to crawl on his belly in the dirt. God says, no, you'll never have anything. Church, you can't afford to give up. Can't afford to let the devil steal your peace, steal your joy, and steal your hope. Well, I thought, well, that's what you get for thinking. Just stop, and you get your faith back into the word of the Lord, and see what the word has to say, and then the devil cannot kill, and you'll not be throwing your hope away, you'll not be throwing your peace away, you'll not be throwing your calling away. You really got to pay attention. Because I don't want the church to be like these doors happen to close up. Because the thief has moved in. It's just not, they're just saying, really what the stores are saying, it's not worth a fight. And yet, I don't, you know, I'm not a CEO in that place. So I have to be, I'm not judging. I don't want to say, I'm just making a statement to you, okay? Because I'm not there. I don't know what we would do if we were in their place and put their people in danger. That'd be a horrible thing. But it is a picture of what's happening today, the narrative today. And I want to tell you, just don't get tired. Don't get tired and give up. Because you prayed so long, you hoped so long, you've waited so long. No, don't do that now. Don't get distracted and drop it. I just want to ask you, did you ever think that maybe, now you will today, after today, have you ever thought that all the shaking going on and all the bumping and all that we've gone through, all the stuff you've gone through outside of COVID, I mean, we're not even talking about COVID now. We've all gone through our own COVID, you know, maybe in a different way. But I believe all these shakings and all these bumpings and all the trials of life are to cause us just to drop our stuff, the stuff we've held on to for a long time. Do you think the devil doesn't come to me and say, you've held on for a mighty move of God and revival and a global outpouring, and you believe you'll be a part of it? 30 years down the road, you're still singing the same tune. Don't you think he would like to bump me every now and then? Say, forget about it. Forget it. Why should God pour out on Landmark? Why should he pour out on this filthy earth? Look at it. Oh, he gives you a big talking to. He doesn't leave anything out. Look how vulgar this world is. Look at everything going on. Well, look at all the empty seats in the church. Do you think, little girl? I say, no, devil, I don't think. Oh, no. The word says, Joel said, what the locust, the caterpillar, the cankerworm has eaten, I will restore the years, every single year that those enemies and those evil things have eaten, I will restore. Okay. So then Jesus comes to a place. And he told us all about it. In fact, his brother said, Jesus' brother James says, why do you think it's strange concerning these fires? Why do you think it's so strange that you have these fires and these trials? Why do you think it's strange concerning those things that have come to try you? Those things that have come to see where your faith is. So don't think it too strange. Now, we were also warned in Hebrews that in the last days, Hebrews 12, 27, 29, don't put that up because I'm just going to paraphrase here, that there would be a shaking in the last days. And when God says there's going to be a shaking, there's going to be a shaking. And he says, yet once more, I will shake the earth. And the things, listen, he said, only the things that cannot be shaken will remain. And if you are not shaken, you cannot be shaken, you're what will remain. And I'm glad he said this. And he says, and you live in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. You live in a kingdom. So if you live in this kingdom that cannot be shaken, why would you be shaken? Those poor people in Israel, the poor Jewish people, they ran to their little safe place. They got there in their house thinking it was a safe place. It wasn't. The enemy came right in and killed. But you and I live in a kingdom that cannot be shaken. So he said, our God is a consuming fire. So now you serve him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. The word talks about when the enemy came to Jesus. Remember when he came to him in Luke 4, Jesus had hungered. He hadn't eaten anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was hungry. And the devil came to him. And he said, why don't you turn those rocks into Panera bread? And Jesus was pretty hungry after 40 days. And so Jesus did not go to the Bible. He knew the Old Testament inside and out. But he said this. He didn't give him a logos word. This, the printed word or the written word, this is logos. It's written. Jesus gave him a rhema word. A rhema word is a specific word for whatever you need it to be. For whatever you're going through. You get that word out. If you're going through a financial struggle, then you fight that thing with, my God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory. You know, there's all kinds of specific scriptures that you pull out. Well, now Satan heard the word of his father at the baptism say, that's my son in whom I am well pleased. Jesus could have said, Satan, didn't you hear my father's voice? Didn't you hear him at my baptism? You saw the dove come on me. You heard his voice say, that's my boy in whom I am well pleased. Jesus did not argue with him. Jesus just said, he was talking about bread, so Jesus said, I'll talk about bread. Jesus said, it is written that man will not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. See, it's a word in Ephesians 6:16. It's talking about the armor of God. But when it gets to verse 16, he's talking about, it says, and the sword of the Spirit. Every one of us have a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I'm glad he defined it. He said, and you have the word of the Spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. But when you see these Roman soldiers on those Hollywood movies, they got a sword this long. But Paul knew what he was talking about. These soldiers, they, in that day, They had a little sword that was like a dagger, sharp on both ends, had a little corkscrew on the end, a metal or steel. And they would get close enough to that enemy to insert it into their abdomen. And when they did, they would pull it out, and out would come the intestines of the enemy. And when he told us, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, would y'all excuse me while I use a word a lady shouldn't use? But it will gut the enemy. It will gut him. It'll take it out of him. And the Bible says, after Jesus gave him back the word, he said, Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all those kingdoms. Jesus didn't say, you ignorant devil. Those kingdoms all belong to my Father. He just said, it is written in the word that you shall worship the Lord thy God and no one else. So he just hit him. You find the scripture. You find the scripture. There's also books, but you can look in the back of your Bible and you can find out these things. So that's the Rhema word. Make sure you find that Rhema word. Oh, yeah. But Jesus didn't. Here's what happens sometimes, you guys. We need something out of the word of God. What do? Oh, we just hunt and peck. Just hunt and peck. Oh, I'll try that. Let's see, what's that say? Oh, it says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Well, no, I don't want that one. Let's see what else. The judgment of the Lord will come upon you. No, not that. And you just keep looking until you find one. No, not that. Not that. Sit down with the word and pray and talk to God and watch what he does. He'll just lead you right to the right one. So you can have all the knowledge in the world that you want. You can have it all. But you cannot find a devil. You can't fight him, church. You just can't. If you were spiritually illiterate, all the knowledge of the world will not rebuke him. But a spiritual anorexic person, if you're anorexic, do you think you could sit down at a table and eat a steak or a potato? They say no. Even after a long fast, you cannot eat a baked potato or a steak. It would kill you. So you can't be anorexic, though. You can't be spiritually anorexic. Or illiterate, you just can't. So make sure you fill your pantry up with this. And you fill your pantry up with this, spiritual pantry, then you're going to have every tool you need when that thief comes. And you get bumped, because you're going to get bumped again tomorrow. Even you'll get bumped before you get home, probably. So church, we pay attention. The word of God changes everything. So hold on to it. And what happens? We just begin to multiply. And I quit with this. Jesus said, the thief comes, but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to destroy you and everything that God wanted to give you. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said, I want you to live. I don't want you to live an abundant life and have some fun and have joy and have blessing. And enjoy the fruit of your labor. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your marriage. He says, I want you to have all that, Jesus said. He's here for that. I'm here for this. So get that word pantry filled up. I'm telling you, the enemy wants you to let go. But you're not going to, church, because this is the day of breakthroughs. Come on and stand with me. It's a day of breakthroughs to those who stand and fight. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, but praise your way through it. Now, the Bible also tells us in Hebrews, God says, I have ministering spirits that are sent to minister to those who are mine. And he said, they are flames of fire. I will send them to you, but we have to have it in us to know they're ours. And we keep our faith being built up by the word. Every day. Put some of it in there and talk with him. That's how you get to know him. If you never talk to somebody on the phone and they call you, you'll say, oh, hi. And they'll say, do you know who this is? No. Why? Because you haven't talked to him in so long. But if it's somebody you talk to all the time, you're like, oh, hello. to your best friend. So we want to know him. So continue to talk with him and read his letters to you. Wonderful Jesus, thank you for this beautiful day in your presence. There's so much that's available to us, Lord, that we just don't take advantage of. And the enemy makes it look like it is so us. He makes it look like it is so flesh and blood. And it is flesh and blood. But Paul told us we don't battle against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers. And spiritual wickedness in high places. Oh, yeah. The prince of the power of the air. But the thing is, church, we have the Prince of Peace. He belongs to us. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you and turn his beautiful countenance toward you and give you peace in the name of the Lord. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being at Landmark today.